Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of I Want to Talk Movies. My name is Andy.
I'm Andrew. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing better. I know we took a little bit of a, not a hiatus, but like, yeah, I had to take another week off. So Andrew was patient, but we have lots to unpack. Like before we started recording, I thought we talked about Peacemaker last time and we didn't. And now there's like five episodes that have happened. So that's going to be the big talk because I'm super excited about this show.
It's a great show.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about James Gunn, but he just does no wrong or just knows how to make amazing shows. So that's going to be one of the main things. We're going to talk about the Injustice movie, and then we're going to talk about the Book of Boba Fett, and just some random stuff before then. But yeah, so Andrew, how you been doing?
Pretty good. I got my booster shot, actually, last week.
Congrats.
Yep, they've made it all the way to Spain. I got it, and then, like, the next day, they really hit me relatively hard. Like, I feel pretty tired afterwards. And the next day, I was still like, I'm going to go to the gym no matter what. So I still went to the gym. And I remember my arm was, like, pretty sore. And I was like, I don't know if this is a good idea. Because, you know, we were doing, like, burpees and pull-ups and stuff at CrossFit. It's like, you know, pushing and pulling and stuff. But actually, the funny thing was, is like, that wasn't what was bad about it. But like, I think like 5 minutes into the workout, like I started sweating and like all of my sweat was like still cold.
Oh, the hell.
Which, yeah, it's not a good sign. If your sweat is cold, it's not a good sign. So I was like, oh no, this is going to be miserable.
Yeah, because like you're like your body, you're like fevering your body. So like your sweat's like needs to be cold, right? Something like that. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, I don't know. So that was uncomfortable. And then I didn't go to the gym the following day, waited for everything to kind of heal back up. Cause that day I was real tired.
Yeah. And then what else happened? You were talking to me about,
how I cut my finger.
Yeah. I don't know. I wanted you to bring it up, but
I cut my finger at a barbecue yesterday. There's this weird tradition. That's not tradition. I guess it's just like, it's this type of onion that they like in Catalonia, which is the region of Spain that I live in. It's this onion. So they hold these winter barbecues in the season of this onion called calcots. I'm probably horribly mispronouncing that.
It's okay.
But anyway, it's this long onion and you barbecue them and then you like, you burn them and then you pull off the burnt part and you slap them into this like sauce. It's pretty much one of those scenarios where you're like, the onion is a conduit for your consumption of this sauce. It's called a romesco sauce. And at the barbecue, there's a knife. I was cutting something, and then like I was trying to be safe. So I was like, I'm gonna put the lid back on this knife, like, you know. And then I just like sheared off like a cheese grater, like a pretty good slice of my skin on my finger.
And then I regret asking you again to talk about how you almost cut your whole thumb off. Cool.
On the plus side, if you cut the tip of your finger off, I think the tips still grow back. So,
okay, that's good to know.
Yeah,
good to know. What else is going to ask you? Yeah, the biggest thing that I wanted to mention and get out of you is the sad thing is that you cannot play the new Pokemon game comfortably.
Well, I can't. Yeah, it's not comfortable because I'm using my pointer finger for the left analog stick,
right,
while the thumb. Because it kind of like I'm waiting for some kind of layer of, I don't know, scab or new skin or something to grow over that.
Perfect.
So I'm using the pointer finger for Pokemon, which on the plus side, at least as you've seen, the first like, you know, 50 minutes of this game is just talking.
Dude, I swear, I was excited. I mean, I'm still excited, but like I started this game like 2 days for like maybe half an hour each session, and each session was just them talking to each other. And I'm like, all right.
Go here, talk to this guy now. And I was like, man, I just want to go out and catch Pokemon, guys. Like,
yeah.
This is over.
So I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to keep going. And then I just barely got to the first, like, little quest. And I'm like, all right, well, now I'm tired. So I'll continue this the next day. But
you didn't catch your Bidoof?
I did not catch the Baidu. I am still. I just got my Cyndaquil.
You got the Cyndaquil?
Yeah.
I went with the Owl. The Owl's way cooler, dude. I mean, it's a fucked up type, but the Owl's kick ass.
All right. It's okay to be wrong, but we'll move on. Anyways, in preparation for this, Andrew, because I told you I missed a week because I was not doing so hot. And I needed, like, mentally, so I needed a break. But in between that time, I played through Pokemon Gold, and I hated it because it's not
was
like
it
back
hard
in
gold?
Not hard gold. No, I was looking for that, and I couldn't find it. But I just got the regular, like, old school Game Boy gold version, right? And the thing is, like, I didn't realize how much grinding there was.
Yeah,
I forgot.
That's what Pokemon is, really.
So I played, I think, Pokemon Y and then Pokemon Sun. And in those two games, there is shared experience. So it made it made the game easier or more like, you know, I guess, I don't want to say fun or easier, right? But I mean, it made it less like, it just made it less grindy and less, I guess, I don't want to say less work, right? But like, one of the game tropes I don't like is that you have to grind out one Pokemon. And so, and if you fight like a weak Pokemon or whatever, like, you only get so much experience. The real experience comes from fighting trainers. So my issue is that, like, one, you have to grind. So, like, let's say you find a Pokemon that you really like and the rest of them are like level 40 and you find like a level 12 Pokemon that you really like. Well, then what do you do for like a couple of hours, right? As adults, I feel like we don't have that time to grind anymore, you know, as we did as kids. And we didn't have so many games coming out so frequently where you had, again, that's your time to grind and to spend and just kind of absorb yourself into the game. Then the next thing was, for some of the cool Pokemon that you really want, you can't get them until like the end game. So for like Pokemon Gold, I really wanted the Lobotar. And so you can't get this particular Pokemon until after you beat not only the Elite, but you have to go back to like the, I want to say like the Indigo or Junto, like the first, where the first the first game takes place. I forgot the name of it because I'm on the spot.
I forget what area that is.
But yeah, but anyway. Pretty much where the first game takes place. You go through all those gyms also. And then after you get beat those people, then you can go to like the special mountain and get this one Pokemon that you have to find and catch. And then it's like around level 24 or whatever. And so, and the rest of your Pokemon are around level 50 at this point or higher. So you can only imagine like my frustration. But I get it. Like,
to get your Tyranitar?
Yeah. So I really wanted the Tyranitar. But anyways, so going based off of that, I wanted to play Arceus, and now I have a bunch of questions that I'm going to ask because I wanted to do a little segment that Andrew was not prepared for that I decided to just come up with. And I told him, can I do this segment? And he said just yes, because he's great. So I'm just going to start asking you some questions. Andrew, you ready?
Okay.
All right. So question one, what type of Pokemon is best?
Best type. This is tough. I mean, I would lean towards fire, but I really do like a good bug Pokemon, so I'm gonna go with bug.
I'm gonna remind you that these answers are subjective, but they're subjective to me, so the right answer is fire. All right.
I like Heracross. I like a good Heracross. They kind of fucked up the evolution of Scyther, and I think they mixed in steel is unnecessary, but whatever.
Okay. Well, you are right now are 0-1, so it's okay. All right, question two. What is the best starter Pokemon?
It's Charmander. That's easy.
Okay, that is correct. All right. Let's see. What is the best generation of Pokemon?
Oh, this is – I mean, I'm forgetting. I really think it's – 3 is my favorite. I think that's a solid one. Is that the one with Treko? I think it's 3. Treko and Mudkip and those ones. Those ones are good. I mean, for nostalgic purposes, it's easy to say one, but I do really like three.
All right. The answer is the first generation. Okay. So if you were to be one of the Pokemon in the world, which one would you be?
Heracross.
See, I was going to try to come up with a Pokemon that I thought you would be, but I didn't have enough time to think about it. So I'm going to give you that one. All right. Not too bad. I have a bonus question, but it's kind of more related to Peacemaker. If you had any animal sidekick, what would be your animal sidekick?
It has to be a real animal.
I mean, Peacemaker has Eagly.
Yeah, let's go with a real animal. I don't know. That eagle is really intimidating and funny.
I love it so much.
Go with like a kangaroo. That would be fun.
That is... See, I wanted to do something, so, like, I was going to go for me up, like, I would do, like, a bear, right? But I feel like a kangaroo would be a lot... But I feel like it's more creative.
Especially if it had punching gloves, or if it had boxing gloves on.
Yep. All right, damn it, I'll give you that one. All right, cool. Those are my questions that I had. So, nice. You had a couple of them wrong, but that's okay. We can move on from that.
It's like classic. You can tell exactly how old you are by the answers you were looking for.
I know. It's the first generation. I'm like, God damn it. You can see which one I favor. But, like, no, I did like Pokemon Y a lot because they had, I think, I'm not sure which one. Yeah, because one of my other, I don't know if it was that one, but that was the first time that I got to. I forgot the name of that Pokemon too, like the wolf Pokemon, the fighter steel.
What is it? Lucario.
Yeah, Lucario. Like he's one of my other. Yeah,
Lucario's a good one.
Yeah, so he's one of my other favorite Pokemon, and I wanted to play the one where you can the generation that you get him. So I'll maybe jump onto that at some point. Anyways, thank you for participating in that. I appreciate it. So going back to our movie television talk, have you been watching anything recently, or do you want to just kind of stick with some what we have planned? Because we have a lot to unpack.
I've been watching some other DC things since we got a DC themed episode, I think.
That is true.
Superman and Lois has started again, so I have the HBO Max subscription now.
Nice.
Still really good. This one's a little different. This season's a little different, I think. So, you know, the one weird thing that I think they're a little too reliant upon all the time with these shows is they're always reliant upon, like, expanding, for some reason, like, Superman to have, like, some long-lost, like, relative. They always do this. It's, like, one of the most common Superman stories for some strange reason. I feel like they should just put, like, a ban on all stories related to this for, like, 10 years.
Got it.
And I think they're doing this again this season with some kind of, you know, maybe with, like, this weird, bizarro version of Superman that's possibly coming in. But the guy who plays Superman is really good. And I really do like Superman as a dad still, dealing with, like, the kind of the family stuff.
Got it.
I tried to watch The Flash a little bit. I haven't watched the show in years. And it's pretty bad. They did this crossover that I wanted to check out, this, like, Armageddon crossover. But the show's rough. Like, it's, you know... The annoying thing about the CW shows is, like, the basis of all conflict always comes down to people lying to each other.
Yeah.
So you'd be like, if you guys just stopped lying, you could fix this shit without, like, 10 episodes.
I see. Okay, so now that you mentioned that, because I finished Cobra Kai. I think we talked about Cobra Kai last time, but I feel like with Cobra Kai, there is not the lying trope, but there's, like, the misunderstanding trope. But they played off well, but, like, I'm not a fan of that show because you're like, if you guys were just, like, full-on honest and not just, like, so, you know, into your own, like, head or whatever. Because there was just so much misunderstanding and, like, no one tells the full story. Because they're not directly lying, but they're not being completely honest. And so, like, that's the kind of trope that really annoys me. But, I mean, for some reason, because Cobra Kai is such a fun show, I have forgiven it. So, I mean, I totally get it. I'm not the biggest fan of that trope either.
Yeah. And then I watched a couple episodes of the Harley Quinn show. That's actually, that's pretty funny. It's pretty violent. Or like,
finally,
like the curse and stuff in it.
Yeah. Dude, I adore that show. I'm so ready for the next season. Hopefully it'll come out at some point. But yeah, I enjoyed Harley Quinn. I think she's one of my favorite female, like, she's a villain, anti-hero, whatever, from the DC world. So I'm a big fan of that. It's funny because, like, in the Injustice movie, animated movie, Jillian Jacob plays Harley Quinn's voice, and she plays Britta in Community. And there's like a scene where she dresses up like as a clown, but she looks like a freaking Harley Quinn in it. And it's just funny that she like played, she did the voice finally for that. And I feel like she could also be a live action Harley Quinn. Not that like we already have like one of the best live action Harley Quinns out there to exist, but this would be a close like runner up if she were to play a live action. Just a side note that I wanted to throw in there. But yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Also, if you haven't watched Community, you should watch it because it's a really good show. Okay.
The funny thing is you know her from Community, but I always associate her with that Netflix TV show Love.
Love was also good, but it was, yeah. I mean, Community was before Love, because I think that was a show that she did after Community. Yeah. But I just adore it. Community has a soft spot for me. Like, I just like really like that show. And Love was also a really fun show to watch. So if you ever have a chance, Love was
really good. That's one of my favorites, I think.
Yeah, no, it's a really good one. I really liked that. And it was only, and, you know, it was one season, but I like, I'm starting to appreciate. It was three. Holy shit, you're right. Okay, well, it was three,
but then, you know, it was had a beginning, middle, and end kind of thing. They finished it. They wrapped it up. It was still good.
Yeah.
I really like it just because, like, there were those moments of, like, sheer awkwardness. And the fact that, like, both of them, probably Gus Moore is kind of more of a shitty person, but they're all, like, they're both very flawed people, you know?
And I like how real that was, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. It's very real, I think.
But cool. Let's see. Well, I think I'll just mention like one or two things. Because I had like a little bit of a weird week. I kind of got into like my, I got into a little bit of an anime segment. I started watching Demon Slayer because of all the hype, and I wasn't feeling it at first when I started it about a year ago or so. But I finally continued it, and I've actually really learned to appreciate Demon Slayer. It's very fun. And then I got to watch the movie that came out. That was a lot of that was even more fun than the show. So I watched that, which has been a blast. And then I watched I watched Raising Dion on Netflix. And that's also a cute, fun show. So yeah, and I didn't know Michael B. Jordan was in Raising Dion, but it's a cute show. It's about a mom who, you know, the father's out of the picture is Michael B. Jordan because of an accident. Because he's a scientist, and most scientists who are in, like, the field could get into an accident, you know, something tragic happens. So, Andrew, you know, be careful.
And this one's not the anime, I'm assuming, anymore, right?
No, it's not the anime.
Michael B. Jordan anime. Oh, damn. That would have been kind of cool, Michael B. Jordan anime.
It would have been cool, right. But it's about, like, he's the father, but this is about, like, the mom, and, like, her son gets superpowers, and it's, like, it's about a mom having to raise a kid with superpowers, which I thought is a really cool take. So it's a fun show. So season one, I watched season one. Season two is starting in like a couple days from today that we're recording. But yeah. So in a nutshell, that is what I've been indulging my time in, besides all the Pokemon stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, well then let's just get into it, because I feel like we're gonna have a lot of sidebars, side roads that we're gonna take when talking about at least a couple of these things. So let's just see what happens. So let's just start with Injustice. I know that Andrew and I talked about watching Injustice, and I've been curious about the Injustice story. So first question: have you read the comics for Injustice?
No, I've never read the comics. I'm sure it's good, but to be perfectly honest, it's very hard to get past these costumes. It's very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
It really hurts my eyes.
God damn it, Andrew.
It's bad, man. Like, it matters. Like, comics are, it's a visual medium. You can't be going around with, like, shitty-ass costumes all the time. I really like Tom Taylor, the guy who wrote this. But, like, I know that those comics have god-awful costumes, which also made their way into this movie. So I've never read it.
Fair enough. See, my experience with Injustice is the video game, which I will say now, which you're going to probably hate me for, but I enjoyed the video game story more than I did the animated movie. So.
No, I don't know. Maybe the video game story is good. I don't know so much, because I guess the video game story takes place when? During some of this too, or no?
It's completely different, so it's weird. In the video game session, in the first one, it's the same. So for the plot for Injustice is the Joker somehow, or the Joker in one way, like he ends up getting Lois killed, right? I don't recall in the game how it happens, right? So I don't know if he like directly
and
like
pregnant Lois too, right? It's always
yeah, pregnant. They're both pregnant. Pregnant Lois gets killed by the Joker somehow. I will say that the movie version I feel like was more tragic and fucked up than the video game. So pretty much Superman, that's what breaks Superman and makes him ends up killing the Joker. So then Superman gets into this whole, I guess I need to, you know, lead the entire world, and because I'm Superman, I'm going to just guide these people, and it becomes where he becomes pretty much puts himself into like a god complex kind of situation. But the other thing is that like somehow, I forgot if it's in the first or second one, but Brainiac gets involved in this too. And so it's just weird. I mixed both one and two up. So pretty much there's more involvement between the other universes crossing in the game than there is in this one. So that's kind of where I'm at. Okay. What were your thoughts on this?
I think this one was good. I mean, like the thing, I mean, like I like the story, you know, I like the, you know, I there's a lot of evil Superman stories. I like this one because I like how it ends. Because in a way, like Superman stops himself, so there's like a good, you know, I like that. I like the ending of it. In terms of like the DC animated movies, I wasn't a huge fan of some of the voice actors. I didn't like the Batman one so much. Obviously, like we said, the costumes are garbage. The animation style was okay. There were some weird things. I think some like parts of their muscles like had these really, really heavy black lines that I thought looked a little weird. Especially like their like ab muscles and their muscles on like the side of their bodies and stuff. So I think, you know, it's not the best art design for one of these movies, but it's also like pretty far from the worst. Voice acting is fine. Story I think was pretty good. I think that's probably where it stood up. Like there's some pretty good action scenes in this, especially that action scene where they take down the Amazo towards the end, like the team up one. Like that was, I think, really well choreographed.
No, I did enjoy that. Yeah. Can you? Okay, so I'm gonna be honest. I've never seen or heard of and I think you mentioned it once long ago when we used to do a different kind of podcasting thing. But yeah, but I don't know a single about Plastic Man.
Oh, Plastic Man's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed watching him.
I mean, he used to be a bad guy. He's now a good guy. He's, like, really crude and funny and weird. Like, honestly, I haven't read that many Plastic Man comics, but whenever he pops up, I always think he's funny.
I'm just what is his power? But he can just, like, pretty much mold into anything.
He's like Mr. Fantastic.
Got it.
The same thing as Mr. Fantastic.
Got it. Makes sense.
He has an awesome costume with his like super deep, ridiculous V-neck.
I like how it was costumes. Like the more ridiculous they look, the more you're a fan of. I'm just gonna call you out.
Yeah, because I mean, like they're superheroes. Like I think they should. I don't think they need to have these realistic costumes with like 50 plates, you know, perfectly set over like all of their abdomens and stuff. So I like the good costumes. I think, what else I'm trying to think of that was good in this? It was pretty brutal, actually. You know, they didn't hold back. I think,
no, and I appreciated that. I appreciated they didn't hold back. Yeah.
You know, they didn't go straight for, like, the straight evil Superman. Like, he is bad. Obviously, he's making bad decisions. He feels kind of bad about them. But it's kind of more of a Red Sun-esque Superman, where that Superman also was, like, pretty sure he was doing the right thing, even though he's clearly, like, there's moments where he's, like, definitely going overboard, killing innocent people and, like, getting pushed that far. Green Arrow was pretty good. I'm not, like, a huge fan of Harley Quinn, and they're kind of paired up together throughout most of the movie.
Right.
I like Harley Quinn fine. I mean, I don't like when they try to position her in these other area, like these other roles. I just like her as a villain.
I think in this particular,
she's so popular, they always they're putting her always at the front all the time just because she's wildly popular. So I understand why. It's not my favorite. It's not my favorite place for her, though.
It makes sense, and I do think that she was kind of rushed to be added to, like, the good side, and be like, oh no, I want to help because they killed my Joker, you know.
Again, I think it's kind of a weird conceit too that Green Arrow is, like, going through a lot of effort to protect her.
Right. So
she's a murderer. She's, like, assisted in the murder of, like, she assisted the Joker in, like, killing all of Metropolis.
Yeah.
Like, that was 10 million people or something. It's like, well, like, did a lot of effort to save this person for some reason.
Yep, agreed. And I guess I'm just a fan of, like, the live action too. But again, her DC cartoon was Kaley Kulo. Like, that's a really fun show.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? Yeah, I mean, like you said, I like that they don't hold back. They for sure. Yeah, like, I don't know how many more thoughts I have into it. It's weird, right? Because I didn't...
I got a couple other ones. I mean, I think... Okay. So the Batman stuff hit pretty well. I think there's a lot of sentiment in the Batman one. He's really, like, he holds his own. He has his code. He sticks to it. I think the scene where Dick Grayson dies, like, that was rough. Like, you see Batman's really sad right there. And, like, he takes it out on his son. He casts his son away. And, like... Because, like, Dick was his first son.
Yep. I didn't see that coming. I didn't think they were going to go that far, you know?
Yeah.
In the Injustice video game, they kill Shazam. Or Superman kills Shazam. And so we're like, holy crap, Superman killed, like, a, you know, pretty much like a kid, because this, you know, Shazam's, like, in the embodiment of a...
Yeah, Shazam's, like, 12.
Yeah, exactly. So, so yeah, no, I didn't see that coming, and I thought that was crazy that you know, they decided to take out, which I'm a fan of Nightwing, so.
Yeah, so, no, yeah. Nightwing's great. And Nightwing and Damian in the comics have, like, a pretty nice relationship together, so, like, Damian really would feel really horrible about that. I like that a lot. You know, the little conceit with Catwoman at the end was nice. I don't know if that was in the comic or not, but, like, they've always, in the last 5 years, they've really been, you know, pursuing a lot of stories between a romantic relationship between Catwoman and Batman. It's not my ideal person for Batman. I think he goes really well with Wonder Woman, to be perfectly honest. I like that relationship because they're both, like, really, really tough, kind of, like, warrior-esque people.
Interesting.
It feels like they're also both people who are, like, afraid to tell the other person that they care about them, so I think they match well together. And also, I like the fact that Wonder Woman is just so much stronger than Batman. I think that's an interesting pairing, too.
Nice.
They kind of insinuated the relationship between those two, I think, in the original animated Justice League cartoon. But it was nice. You know, it's nice to see Batman be a little more, you know, a little more sentimental and acknowledge that, like, the world is not a horrible, dark place constantly. So, like, you know, his acknowledgement at the end where he, like, holds her hand, and he's like, maybe we all have a chance to restart. And then, of course, I love the fact that the ending of it is, like, you have the real Superman with the trunks come in and fix everything.
There you go. I was waiting for you to say that. Yeah. I was going to say, I'm like, wait, I'm just going to wait for Andrew to say that when the other Superman comes in with the red undies and all that. So,
like, I like that. You have the one with the, you know, the good costume comes in. He helps fix everything. You have another Lois from a different dimension come in. I think it makes sense. I think it's the... it's the most kind of like thoughtful, interesting way to stop an evil Superman, I think.
Yeah. And I that's the one thing I do. It's weird, right? Because usually when you when we have these comic book battles or whatever, we always try to see like the majority of the time, right? And this is a generalization. We always see like a power being overpowered, right? And this time it was more of a, like an emotional thing to like stop Superman. It's not like, oh, we got to find like a stronger person, like a stronger, like, you know, force, or have him fight himself. Like it didn't become that. It's more like, you know, like the emotional side of like talking him out than rather to like, you know, reverting to violence. Obviously it's not what you would see in a, you know, basically all the time in a pulpy comic book, right? Because you want to see a lot of that fun, those fun fights and choreography kind of things. But when it comes to like Superman, it's always been more of an internal thing that has always been able to, which I appreciate, because like it's a different take and it challenges writers and whatnot to like, how else can we, you know, stop this like unstoppable force, you know? And it may not be the most climatic way, but it's a very cool different take, which I can appreciate. Does that make sense?
Yeah. If this was like a Zack Snyder movie, he would have just had like a bunch of different Martha Kents and Martha Waynes come from like 50 different dimensions.
Martha, how do you know that name?
That would have stopped him.
Yeah. Yeah, but
it was good. I like this one. You know, I always try to watch these when they come up. This one, I think, still better than a lot of them. Some of them have not been great in the past couple of years, but this one was good.
No, for sure. I thought last time this was on HBO Max, but no, they just put it on, because when I was looking for it, I think a couple weeks ago, I was looking for it because I was interested in watching it. And it was only like, you know, available to like rent for like $20. I'm just like, dude, like, I don't want to just throw $20 right now, you know?
Yeah.
But then the week after it became, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah, no, because I think it came out like a couple of weeks ago, maybe even months ago.
Yeah. So, but what's it called? But yeah, no, it was. I'm glad I watched it. It was a good one. So, and we'll go for. What's it called? Yeah, we'll go from there. Let's get into the Book of Boba Fett. I almost miscalled it something else, but I'll call it that later. So between the time that you and I talked last time, there's been two episodes that has come out. So what happened in episode 4 called The Gathering Storm? I think
I can't remember exactly what happened, but I think at the minimum, what I think is interesting is it wraps up what I'm assuming is, I guess, the flashback. Oh yeah, it was a flashback between how he met Melinda May. I can't remember her name in this show, so we'll call her Melinda May.
Oh right, yeah, no, I forgot her name also, but yeah, like she, because again, these. I don't know how to. Okay, there's a quote that I want to kind of. I forgot who said it, but I read it on Twitter. But like someone described the show, which I think makes sense, right? But I'm not that I dislike the show, right? But I feel like the Boba Fett show has been like. I feel like it's been like, you know, a one main line in the background, right? But the show is like a lot of side quests happening, you know. But we're now.
I think there's one thing, but the thing is. I'd be curious what would have happened had they not had this like kind of parallel running story of the past with the present, because I assume for a lot of people that makes them feel like the story is stagnant, and I really don't think the story is stagnant, and I think actually this is a really good description of why Boba Fett came to the conclusion that he did, to be a crime, you know, to try to run a crime empire. I really wonder what would have happened if you just told the background first and then you immediately went to this. So like the first three episodes just background and then it shifts. Like, I don't know.
Right.
If that would have sat better with the audience and made it feel like it was moving along faster. Because I think those background ones were really good episodes. But I think if you're focused the entire time, it's like, I want to understand why Boba Fett is trying to run a crime family, and I want to see all of that come to a head and like him battling with whoever it's going to be, like the Pikes or the Fetts or whatever. Like, it feels slower.
I've been enjoying all of it, right? Because to me, I think what I appreciate about Boba Fett and becoming a crime lord is that he's not being a piece of shit about it. He's being like the godfather, right? Kind of getting that kind of that feeling of like about respect and everything. So I love the approach that he's taking in his uprising to be this crime lord. So yeah, I've been digging it. It just kind of just felt like, you know, we have this main course, right? But then like we see the background and all the side stuff happening, which I think is cool, because again, I've been liking all the creatures, how he's been developing and all that kind of deal, because I am a fan of like character development, which they've been doing great.
I think it makes a lot of sense is because I think a lot of fans at first glance would be like, this makes no sense because Boba Fett is kind of a killer. He wouldn't want to do this. Like, he's being too nice. Mm-hmm. But I think when you put it all in the context of like, okay, he was part of a tribe and that was really working for him. He enjoyed it. He felt like he had a place in this tribe, and then it was all taken from him. And he realized that, okay, Jabba the Hutt threw me out the second he didn't need me and didn't help me out. I don't want to work for these dicks anymore. Fuck this. Yep. Like, I'm going to do this better than all of them, and I will give the people who work for me respect, and I, you know, I will not just discard them the second they're no longer useful for me. So I think in that context, it all really makes sense, like why Boba Fett's character has maybe changed. And I also want to point out, too, the fact that anyone thinks that Boba Fett has had any character development outside of the expanded universe in the books, which technically no longer exists, it's just ridiculous. I think it's really funny, like, oh, Boba Fett wouldn't act like this. And it's like, based off what? Like, the five scenes in the fucking in the original trilogy that he's in? Like, he doesn't have any personality in those movies. He has kick-ass armor. And that's why people like Boba Fett. It's just because he has cool armor. That's it. He goes down like a bitch in those movies. Seriously, I've just always been amazed why people love Boba Fett so much before all that other stuff. Because I'm just like, in the original movies, he's not that cool. Like, he has cool armor, sure, but the character of Boba Fett is not that cool, and he goes down like a bitch. But I think now when you have all this character development, it's much more interesting. I thought it was cool, too, to see the way he, like, pointed that ship. His ship, his Slave One, like straight into that Sarlacc pit was super funny.
Oh God, yeah. I just like how he went back to, you know, we saw another one of those, and he just kind of went straight for it. He's like, "Fuck it, I'm not going to go down again. Nope, we're doing this."
Yeah. So pretty much the whole episode, that, you know, is just the background on Shennec, and how he gets her, And then
We do see him hire some people, like the other Wookiee.
Oh yeah, the
Karsten,
the Wookiee black.
The black Wookiee, yeah. Who is like, he's a freaking badass. I like him.
No, he's really awesome. He's also originally from the comics, the new relaunched comics after Marvel bought Lucasfilms and started making comics again.
That is now canon, right? That's considered canon, right? Those comics.
Yeah, those comics are considered canon, and that's where he's originally from. He's really cool. I love his armor. He looks kick ass. I didn't realize this either, but there's a lot of like, this is what you get when Dave Filoni is writing these things, because he's like a Star Wars encyclopedia. Apparently, like, Wookiees don't like those lizard people because those lizard people have a history of killing Wookiees for their pelts.
Huh.
So that's also why he was just pissed off while he was in there. He saw, you know, those lizard people, and that's why he was super angry. And I guess they also grow their arms back. So even though he ripped off one of their arms, they grow back.
Yeah. Yeah. He sent the message, so they got the message. You know, I thought it was, they proved the point. He's a badass and he's scary, so.
No, he's a total badass. I would love to see him pop up anywhere else. Like, if you could somehow pull him into the Mandalorian, man, as the sidekick, that would be great.
There we go. We already know who the sidekick is, though. All right, Andrew, we're not going to take that away. But anyways, but that was pretty much
We move to the Mandalorian, so I guess just to summarize some of this. So I guess we have two episodes left now, and now we have Boba Fett coming to a head with the Pike Syndicate.
Yes, that's gonna be what we're leading up to. Shan, the his partner. They said, they're like, hey, we need to find reinforcements for this war that's gonna happen. So it's cool because this episode was about, like, I forgot if it was this episode or the last episode where they hire the gang, and be like, hey, we'll
the previous episode they hired the
gang. Yeah, so it's been kind of cool that they've been building up like this army. And then the pig, I keep forgetting the pig face people. I'm a fan of them when they're like on both. I think they're funny.
The warthog people with the axes. Yeah, they're funny.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see what this is leading up to. But yeah, let's get into the next episode, which is when I was talking to Andrew, I'm like, yeah, we're gonna talk about the Mandalorian, and they're like, no shit, it's the Book of Boba Fett. But like this entire episode now is In chapter 5, we now get Mando back.
Oh man, the whole episode too is great. It's the best episode.
So I got spoiled a little bit, right? Because I'm like, right in the end where Shan, tells Boba Fett, hey, like we got to find some other reinforcements. Like you hear the Mandalorian's theme song, right? Yeah. So I'm like, oh, sick! They're gonna have him show up in the next episode. So I thought it was going to be, he was going to pop up at the end. We're like, hey, we need your help. No, in this episode, first scene that you see, we just start off with the Mandalorian. We just start off with him. We're like, all right, we're just going to show you and we're just going to get into it. This has been probably my favorite episode of the entire season. Because I love the Mandalorian. I am a little bit more attached to this character because we spent more time with him. But I was just excited to see him, and then we finally get to see him with the fucking Darksaber.
And he's really going to town. He's really murdering people. I was like, damn, like he killed more people in his opening scene than Boba Fett has in his entire season.
Yep. Yeah. This is the way, Andrew, when you were given a Darksaber. This is the way.
No, it's really cool, and it's. It made me go back and try to reread all the convoluted history of Mandalore because I've read, I watched all the movies, or no, I watched all the cartoons, and there's a lot of Mandalorian lore in those, and it's I don't know why, it's so hard for me to remember all of it because I think because they're always partially retconning it.
Yeah. But can you help guide me or help talk to me about the Darksaber and like
how? Yeah, I got it now.
Okay, cool. So
the Darksaber was originally created, like, I think thousands of years ago, probably in the Old Republic, by, I think originally the Mandalorians were not on good terms with the Jedi Order. But then at one point in time, one of their own was force sensitive. He forged the Darksaber with that metal, too. The handle is made out of Beskar. So he forged it. He became, I think, the ruler of Mandalore, and this is also when Mandalorians, I think, were like a pretty violent and warrior-type species. I think eventually he dies, and then like it's taken by the Mandalorians, and whoever like is ruling Mandalore will wield the Darksaber. I think they have different interpretations of how it's handed off from person to person, but effectively at some point in time, I think, there's some kind of Mandalorian civil war. And I think it's so violent and bad that it causes like a large proportion of the Mandalorians to become pacifists. And then the kind of more violent warrior ones are secluded into a different group on the moon. And for a long time, especially during the Clone Wars, Mandalore is a pacifist society. But they're still dealing with what I think they're probably called like the terrorist organization called Death Watch, which is on the moon. They're trying to take over Mandalore. They see like the old version of their society as the better version, the warrior violent one. Mm-hmm. And then Death Watch has the Darksaber. The leader of Death Watch has a Darksaber. He makes a deal at some point in time with Darth Maul, and then Darth Maul runs Death Watch with all the Mandalorians. Eventually, okay. Darth Maul is taken down, and the Darksaber, I think, changes hands. And eventually, who gets it?
I forgot who it was at some point,
because what's her face? The one who was in
Bo-Katan, right?
Bo-Katan. She was in Death Watch. She was like number two in command, but then Maul kills her boss and takes over, and then maybe she leaves or something. Because Bo-Katan's sister was the leader of the Mandalorian group that was like on Mandalore that was more peaceful during the Clone Wars. And I think because Maul loses the fight to Ahsoka, Bo-Katan takes the Darksaber and she actually gets it. But the reason that, like, I guess she doesn't have claim to it because she didn't win it in battle. And I think that other Mandalorian woman with the helmet who's leading Mando, I think she makes a comment about how she's unworthy of it. She didn't earn the sword in battle. At some point in time, too, I'm forgetting, somehow it gets the sword gets chained. Oh, no, wait. This is also confusing. Because in Star Wars Rebels, another Mandalorian gets the sword, and then she gives it, I think, back to Bo-Katan. And then Bo-Katan loses it to Moff Gideon.
Right. So that's what I heard, that, like, you, the basic of the saber is that you have to win it in combat. You don't need to kill the person.
Combat, but you gotta... She was given it. I think she was she didn't win it in combat ever.
Right. So, from what you just told me, Andrew, right... Not even Gideon, right? But what you're saying is that the rightful heir or owner of the saber is Ahsoka.
Technically, yeah, actually. She should have been the one ruling the Mandalorians, according to that. And then she gave it to Bo-Katan. But I guess, I mean, technically, Din, I guess, won it in combat, right?
Who? Or no, well, Mando. Mando won it in combat, so I don't know if
But no, you're right. I mean, Ahsoka should have. She could stake claim, I guess, to rule Mandalore.
Yeah, she has to claim, but I guess does it restart when there's a new battle for the saber?
Yeah, I don't know. Right? And then also, my assumption too is this like old clan of Mandalorians that like Mando is kind of running with. I'm assuming that like some kind of like residual group from Death Watch, maybe, which is kind of interesting because they're kind of like a terrorist organization, I guess, depending on whose perspective you're looking at. But maybe they've been like rebranded and relabeled and they're not Death Watch anymore. I've seen some comments online where some people think that the woman who's kind of always talking to Mando, like she has some extra horns, like some points on her armor. Her helmet, and some people think that could be because she was maybe one of disciples of Maul, and some of Maul's Mandalorians, they had put extra horns on their helmets.
Got it.
But who knows? And again, like they're always retconning this, so like Mandalorian stuff, I think it's always very confusing.
Yeah, and it just reminds me that I'm just excited for. The Ahsoka live, you know, the Ahsoka show at some point. So I'll be excited to see that come to life with Rosario Dawson because she's phenomenal. But yeah, I love seeing you know Mando back in action, being a freaking bounty hunter and being a badass. We get to see his spear. Changed and forged into some kind of armor for his little friend, aka Grogu, aka Baby Yoda. So you and I were talking before the show. Well, before we get to that point, is there anything else we want to talk about in this episode?
I mean, besides the fact that it was just like it was delightful. It was really nice to see Mando. I liked the interaction with him building the ship too. That was fun.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, can we like talk about those Easter eggs? Cause like they legit shot the same kind of routes from like episode one in the pod racing things. You know, like the pod race course and everything. There were so many callbacks to I feel like episode one in the pod racing. And I don't think that particularly...
those ships were from episode one, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, and then the word, and then where Mandalorian, where he kind of drives through, right? That's exactly the same kind of shots in the same area that they had the pod race happen with Anakin. So I was pretty like taken aback to see, or I was pretty excited to see that and be able to remember that, because it's been quite some time since I've seen episode one. But yeah, no, I was,
as it should be, Andy.
As it should be. Pod racing was one of the best parts of that, of episode one anyways. I mean, I guess at that time was when I enjoyed it, because I'm like, oh, a cool race. So yeah, I'm trying to remember. But they also had the, okay, episode one also had a pretty good fight with Darth Maul, I'm not going to lie. You know, so.
Yeah, it's true. But, and Maul was in it, so, like, that's cool.
And Maul was in it, so, Maul's like. Awesome. Yeah, Darth Maul was awesome, and they had the best, like, score to a lightsaber fight.
But the lightsaber fights in it were pretty lame.
Okay, well, the score to that the music, though, the score to that fight, yeah. That last battle, okay. Was Qui-Gon Jinn, Obi-Wan, and Darth Maul was pretty badass. And that is the last thing I will get to episode one, I promise you. But, you know, it was cool having those callbacks and all that, too. So, what was I going to say? But, yeah, no, Bryce Dallas Howard, who is Ron Howard's daughter, directed this, and it was, she knows how to direct, and I just appreciate her work in this. But okay, what I wanted to ask you before we get into Peacemaker, you and I were talking a little bit about, are we going to see the Mandalorian back in this show? I'm saying yes, and I feel
I think no.
You think no? So why is that?
I really think they like film this episode completely separate, and I don't even know if the two actors were on the same set at the same time. Based on this episode, it makes me think that they added it on afterwards just as a way to kind of tee up the next season and get people excited. But, and also because he said, I have to go do something first. He said, even though he said it was free and he would help them for no money, that sounds like he's got to go see Grogu first, which I don't know how he's going to go see Grogu and then, you know, come back, and then whether or not the Mandalorian is going to be about him seeing Grogu or not, I'm not sure. Although I would assume also maybe the Mandalorian is about him going to Mandalore instead.
But again, like, we don't know. So we don't know where exactly Grogu is, right? So we don't know how far off he is from Tatooine. That is Luke Skywalker's home, so I don't think Luke would be that far from Tatooine, right? Well, yeah, and these are hypothetical.
I don't know. He's at some like Jedi training center, wherever Luke put the Jedi training center, wherever, I guess, it's whatever planet he was on, probably when
the whole Anakin thing happened and all that.
No, not Anakin.
Kylo. Sorry.
Yeah, when the Kylo Ren thing, it's probably whatever planet that was. I don't know if they named that planet. I assume that's where he is.
Yeah. We don't know how far off that place is or whatever, but I'm assuming we have one more. So, because we have 7 episodes, right? So we have 2 more episodes for this season. So I have a feeling that episode 6, we're going to have no Mando show up, right? And it's going to be more of another setup episode for the war that Boba Fett's leading up to. Episode 7, I feel like we're going to have that, like, you know, the epic battle, and we're going to have the Mandalorian come in clutch, you know, and
maybe have that trope. If he does come back, I think it would probably only be for a few minutes, but...
Yeah, I'm saying he's going to come back for a few minutes or even more. Who knows? Depending on how they want to shoot this. But honestly, like, I feel like the Mandalorian honestly has been the first show that I've noticed or that I feel has been the most fan servicey, but not in a way that's shoving it or forced down your throat. You know, it's like the fan service that people love seeing and enjoy. Because we, in the first season, you know, I mean, Yoda in general is one of the most is a beloved Star Wars character. We got a baby Yoda, right? For that season, we had a lot of callbacks to a lot of a lot of things from like our earlier Star Wars things. And then in season two, we see Boba Fett introduced. We see Luke Skywalker, which was a jaw-dropping moment, come in. We see Ahsoka in season two. So I feel like John Favreau is just like, we're going to make this fan service, but in a good way, because who doesn't want to see this? How would these ideas not be awesome? So that's kind of my argument of why, like, we might see both a glimpse of Mandalorian and Grogu in like either episode 6 or 7. Because I'm making that call right now, and I feel like Marvel is starting to get into that kind of trope too, because of like things that we saw in Spider-Man and in Hawkeye and all that. But that's a whole other thing. I'm just saying that this one's been the most, like, as in for, like, you know, fan service and whatnot. So I could be wrong, but this is how I feel about it, you know. So yeah, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
No, we'll see. I think, you know, I think either one seems reasonable to me. After 2 weeks, we'll find out.
But do I need to message you and say, and just kind of give you shit if I'm right? Do I get
if
that?
If you want. I'll probably watch it. I assume I'll watch it before you, so at least I'll know if it's coming or not.
That's because you are 9 hours ahead, and that is not fair.
Yep.
Anyways, it's so funny because, what was it? Well, no, I don't think Mandalorian was like a spoiler for this particular episode. Because I still think it's funny when like something major happens, you will like still message me and be like, don't get spoiled.
So it was big. Like the Luke one was big. I was like, you don't want that, was so was so cool. And I was like, you don't want that one spoiled.
No, definitely. But I think even for like the Kingpin one for Hawkeye, it's like you're like, I think you messaged me for that one too. You're like, don't get spoiled. Yeah. You know, so just like, okay, I got you. Just stay away from social media until you finish watching the episode. But yeah, so that is for the Book of Boba Fett / Mandalorian. Let's get into Peacemaker, because we're spoiling everything, talking about everything, and Peacemaker has probably been my, because Boba Fett came out last year, so this Peacemaker has so far been my most anticipated show of the year. And I've been loving every bit of it.
Yeah, I was super pleasantly surprised. I mean, like, I was excited to watch it just because I like John Cena.
Yeah.
But again, like, my, you know, I always just keep most DC things to like a pretty low bar. But this is really, really good. I mean, that's the first episode really, really comes off at a bang, but it's got this nice mix, I think, of, it really feels similar to The Boys. I think if you're itching to watch something like that, like, this really hits it.
Yeah. And it's crazy, right? Because pretty much James Gunn is like, hey, we're in COVID, I find this Peacemaker character really interesting, here is some crazy shit that I'm going to come up with, and here are 8 episodes of what I want to do with this character. And again, I don't know what it is about James Gunn and his writing style, but from like a lot of, I appreciate his work for one reason. He, I think out of a lot of the writing, like, he's really good at making you care about the character and like the first 5 minutes that you sit with that character. He has them fully fleshed out, and I don't know how he does it, but that's just kind of how I feel about it. I'm just like, well, yeah. Like, what's Guardians of the Galaxy? Like, I already cared, you know, or even Suicide Squad, like, made me already, like, care for some of these characters or, like, understand them quickly. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think he has done a pretty good job of that, especially with this character. I mean, like, he's much more likable on this show and, like, funny and, you know, sympathetic at times and stuff like that than he was in the movie.
So. So, I mean, how are your, so how have you, I don't know, what are just kind of your thoughts on this whole journey with John Cena and Peacemaker and his character, like, growth or whatever? Let's start with, like, that, because, like, let's start with the characters, I guess, and then we can get into, like, the story.
I mean, I think he's really funny and interesting because they pulled in. I mean, like, he's really enjoyable. He's really enjoyable actor, I think. John Cena is really nails it. You can tell he really enjoys it. He does all these interviews on TV too with wearing the costume. He totally must love, you know, being an actor in the roles that he's getting. I think it's really interesting because they pull in his dad, and you can kind of try to figure out a little bit about his. That's really where the sympathy thing is. Like, his dad is a villain who's a white supremacist.
Yeah.
And that really gives you kind of the insight into, like, how he was raised, why he's fucked up, like, you know, why he's a bully and stuff. And, like, they even have, you know, a handful of fun like that. Then the most recent episode where John Cena, where he says, he's like, yeah, I was bullied in high school too. And he's like, everyone kept calling me a bully and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
So it's like all these funny things. And then there's, you know, there's a lot of sympathy where he just, you know, he knows people don't like him and he feels really bad about that. And he wished that people did like him, but he doesn't know how to, I guess, kind of expose certain parts of his life and his feelings and stuff to people. So he just builds up more and more walls.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't have said it better. He has a pet eagle. I just wanted to mention that again. I'm a fan of Eagly.
And the name is funny. I mean, like, that first episode is really, really good. It really sets the stage, I think, a lot, because it's like, it's crazy violent, it's over the top. It has like a ridiculous sex scene with John Cena, and you're like, oh my god, this guy's like 45 years old, I think, maybe, and he's like jacked as fuck. How old is John Cena? I think he's like 40.
Yeah, he's in his 40s for sure, but he's just like, yeah, I still work out a shit ton, and I have no shame.
He's 44.
And I
will.
Yeah, he's like, I'll show my ass on screen. Let's do this.
He's 44. He's walking around at like 6% body fat. It's ridiculous.
And he does all. He has a whole, not, you know, a little bit of ass, but then like a whole like scene or two in just tighty whities.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of that first episode too. I thought there would be more sex in it. Maybe they were just teeing it up for the first episode because I was like, wow, there's like a lot of sex and like a lot of like half naked John Cena in this. They haven't gone back to that well yet.
No, I think it's fine, but like again, it sets the tone of like exactly what he's gonna be about. You know what I mean? Like it's just the violent, the story, everything. Just it's just like this is what we're in for. So take it or leave it. So I was just a fan of that.
Yeah, and then effectively, right? We have like a running storyline now of like he's on like this ops mission in order to prevent himself from having to go back to jail. Actually, that first episode was really funny when he gets out of the hospital and he's talking to that. I think this is also funny, too, right? It sets the stage for who the character is. He's talking to that janitor about how he's, like, not a villain or he's not racist. And it really is, like, probably, like, kudos to James Gunn for being able to write that scene and pick the right words for that while making it funny, but also be like, yeah, man, this guy's probably fucked up. And he's like, no, I kill people who are, like, he's like, I kill black people, too. And the guy's like, well, it seems like you kill way more black people than white people. And he's like, what do you want from me? He's like, I want you to kill more white people, or, you know?
It's a little bit more.
Like, this back and forth about how he's, like, mostly killing black people and minorities instead of white people.
And it's like, all right, fine, I'll be more mindful and try to kill more white people, okay? And it's like, all right, cool, that's all I ask. I just appreciate just like the little subtleties. And then like the old neighbor, why I appreciate James Gunn's writing, just the banter about Batman and him and who's the real, you know, hero or whatever.
And it's funny because there's a lot of real stuff in there when he says, you know, it's funny to hear him say Batman is a pussy, but he's also right. Well, not right, but there's an interesting thing there where he's like, if Batman just killed the Joker, how many people would he have saved by now?
Right. And it's fine. You know, and that's true. Like, it's not wrong.
It's a perfectly valid opinion.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people would not, you know, he would probably save a lot of future lives if Batman finally, you know, like, killed off the Joker. But also, you know, but that's the thing. Like, each character has their morals and their flaws, and that's what's great, you know? And I like that he, you know, particular, you know, Peacemaker is struggling to refine those values that he, those morals that he has, because he obviously he hadn't set in Suicide Squad, I'm willing to kill every man, woman, and child in the name of peace.
In the name of peace.
Yeah. So, and then now, you know, like with the team that he's with, like, he is questioning those morals, you know, and getting, you know, he's reviewing, like, he's seeing himself again, and I like that, and which is why I like that James Gunn knows how to put these other characters involved to kind of, like, question that. Like, I really like Adebayo has really grown on me. I think she's one of my, I think she's probably my favorite character from the show that I really like, because like, she is definitely, like, is the one with the moral compass, right? Who is the only one who sees the good, and there's, like, this innocence to her, right? You know, when it comes to, like, being naive and, like, not being as in the field, and we have, like, Harcourt, who has seen too much and is, like, the dark person. Obviously, John's there for comedic humor, and I love his character. But I just like Adebayo and, like, how she's kind of helping Peacemaker with, like, redefining his values and, like, hey, like, there is some good in you, and let's get that out. You know, obviously, there's some pieces of her that we don't know yet, which I want to keep watching the show for.
Yeah, no, it is funny because she'll come in and kind of, like, scold him, like, nicely, and she's the only one he'll listen to, kind of, right?
Yeah,
like when he was making fun of the computer guy for his PowerPoint.
Oh my god.
He makes that shitty PowerPoint, and then, like, you know, Peacemaker's making fun of him, and he's super pissed at him. But the thing is, it's funny because, like, there's, like, these interesting small things in there. Peacemaker's really mad for him putting his dad in jail. He doesn't want to tell him that, so he just takes it out on him by insulting him and calling him an asshole and saying he's bad at his job. And then at the end, you know, she's like, hey, you shouldn't be mean to people like that. You shouldn't have said that to him. And you can, you know, there's some interesting things there about, you know, his personality and, like, how you treat people and other stuff, you know.
I just thought it was hilarious that, like, they will add some, like, you know, some improvisation into some of the script. And so when they let in episode 5, when they let John Cena loose, it's like just naming a bunch of random people. I just was all for it. It was just great.
What do you think of Vigilante?
He's grown on, like, he was annoying, but he's grown on me. I do like his character also. What about you?
I think he was super funny. Yeah, I think at the beginning he was kind of, like, weird, but I mean, like, he's super, super funny. I think the scene with him in the prison and that conversation he has with all the white supremacists was hilarious.
Oh my god.
Another, like, really, yeah, really well written, like, you know, blink and you miss it kind of fast, you know, probably comic genius from James Gunn scene.
Just calls him out, It's funny. I just love the setup and payoff that he has for everybody. You know, I don't know. It's just really fun to watch. And so let's get into, like, so who else? Do we miss any other characters? We have Morn, but who is, like, the leader right now.
But I mean, I like him a lot. He's cool. I just heard he got pulled into Guardians, which is interesting. So he'll be in Volume 3.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm excited. He's awesome. And I didn't know he was also in Doom Patrol. I didn't recognize him.
Is he playing Doom Patrol? I haven't watched that in a while.
He's I forgot the names. But he helps the electric guy, I forgot his name, like, find himself, kind of. Okay. When he goes in, it's like the musical section one. The musical.
Okay.
Yeah. So I totally just, oh yeah. But yeah, let's get into some of the story that we have. Obviously, like, we get pulled, Peacemaker gets pulled out again from after he's healed to go on this mission to find out who these butterfly, like, who this team or this thing called Butterfly is, and to kind of scope out what these things are. We then find out that they are legit butterflies. They're alien butterflies who get into people's heads and take over,
possibly through their butts. We don't know.
Specifically mentioned in the show that they could possibly get into the butts. Yes. Thank you.
Also, it's funny that they called this Project Butterfly, and then the other one in Suicide Squad was called Project Starfish, and it was a giant starfish.
See, I and I don't want to say that he's not recycling, you know, that he's recycling, but I just I like how it's direct and how like is.
I think it's a continuation of it. I think it's just like a consistency that's funny.
I like the exactly. Okay, that's a better way of putting it. I like the consistency of like this joke. It's like it's called Butterfly because we are legit finding people who are taken over by butterflies. So, I mean, I'm excited to. So, I just think it's funny that he does his little subtle jokes that he keeps doing, which I really appreciate. Also, like, the music just works so well with the show too. Like, I don't know how he does it with like the music and everything inclusive, but it just.
He did a good job with this one, and I'm actually surprised because honestly, I think the second Guardians of the Galaxy was a little miss.
Sure.
Just because you're expecting it, it felt like really tough to top the first one when you weren't expecting it, and I feel like the second one, it was so expected that it was less entertaining.
Sure.
But I like this one that for some reason, you know, it makes sense actually that Peacemaker, I'm not surprised, but he likes like 80s hair metal, right? So all the songs are, you know, 80s hair metal songs, they have like, you know, they make sense with the scene that we're in. They're well picked. He did a good job with those two.
And even with like, even with the Suicide Squad, there was some good music in the background too. So, I've been enjoying like each little pieces of it. Going on, you know, we have the butterflies, which is pretty much them trying to figure out who the leader is and like what they're doing and if there's an alien invasion. And so I think in one of the episodes that we see that there's like a shit ton of butterflies around the entire world. What else am I missing here? Mention. Story-wise.
I think that's it. I don't know. It's a pretty straightforward story trying to figure out if the butterflies are bad. The main guy is a butterfly. We have reason to believe they might not be bad, even though the main the guy running the group is, it definitely has some probably ulterior motives.
And then we kind of find out, like, so obviously Peacemaker lies and said he killed one of the butterflies, but he actually captures it, keeps it in a jar, right? So we'll see.
Is also funny because he gets it, like, he hotboxes the little thing.
Yeah.
He blows some weed in there, which is hilarious.
Who was the muscle guy, the short muscle guy,
Judo Kid?
The Judo King
or whatever?
Yeah, Judo King. Because that's the cool, that's the thing that, go for it?
No, I was just saying they're all like real DC characters that like no one ever uses, I think. They were like purchased by, the funny thing is I think same with Peacemaker. I think they're all Charleston characters, which was like a company that DC purchased probably like in the 60s or something or 50s. And the only notable thing about the Charleston character is that originally Watchmen, Alan Moore wanted to use those characters, but revamped them in his kind of like, you know, darker deconstructed tone. They ended up not letting him do that because I think Peacemaker is supposed to be the comedian pretty much. So instead of just taking those characters directly and like deconstructing them into this dark superheroes, Alan Moore made his own that were all mirrors of those characters. So he just individually took the characters he wanted to make and then deconstructed fucked up versions of them. And I think Peacemaker originally was not, I mean, like the characters from like probably like the 40s or something. He's not originally as fucked up as this. But originally, so the fucked up version of him became the comedian, and then I think in response to that, DC probably actually was like, oh well, that was a really good interpretation of the character or whatever, that sold really well, so let's actually make Peacemaker kind of a more fucked up anti-hero villain-esque person, which is kind of funny.
Makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I'm curious of what what's gonna, again, I'm excited to watch the rest of this because I've been watching some of James Gunn's interviews, and for example, like, someone asked him, like, hey, so what are some of your favorite episodes from this, you know, from what you have written or that you're looking forward to people to see? And he's like, I'm looking forward to people watching episodes 6 and 8, so, which is what's coming up pretty soon. So I'm pretty set to what's going to be happening. This last episode, we got left with a cliffhanger. We find out that Morn is a butterfly, and Adebayo, like, you know, was using his helmet, using Peacemaker's helmet, like, in the X-ray vision, like, sees the butterfly in his head. So it's just kind of like, again, it adds more, like, what the hell's going on, and kind of to keep you kind of intrigued. So I'm super excited to see what's in store, and, like, I'm hoping that Adebayo doesn't, you know, get killed, because I really like her character.
Hopefully not. So, I mean, yeah. It's funny, too, because I'm sure they must be thinking about a season two now, because it's, like, one of the most popular TV shows, I think, being streamed right now, which I'm not surprised, actually.
Yeah, it's when, yeah.
But, I mean, it just seems obvious. I mean, it seems obvious that they do a season two, given the popularity, at least, which is so funny, because it's, like, DC, Jesus Christ. Like, I don't need them to make everything R-rated. That's not what I'm saying. But what you can tell is, like, when you give these, I think when you give the directors and stuff a little more leeway, or you have some kind of unified vision for, like, the shared universe, you end up with much better stuff than what they've generated in the past.
There it is. Yep. And that's kind of why when we have our arguments between Marvel and DC, Marvel has been ahead of the game, because they've had one unified vision that everyone's agreed on, and they've had creative liberties, right? So I feel like because James Gunn is who he is, Warner Brothers is like, do what you want, which is why the Suicide Squad is probably currently one of the most successful DC movies there is. Besides Nolan's trilogy, right, that's not canon, was the DC universe. We have finally this, which is canon. So, because I'm trying to figure out, I mean, maybe I'm biased because it's James Gunn and it's a Suicide Squad, but the Suicide Squad is my favorite DC movie so far that they've come out with.
Yeah, I would say the first Wonder Woman's probably mine, but the Suicide Squad's better than most, right? Like, it's...
Yeah. Well, again, Wonder Woman is top tier. That first one is top tier, but, like, no other one has, like, set the bar for, like, that high, or has met that bar. Shazam was fun.
Yeah.
Aquaman was okay. Not as fun as Shazam, but, you know what I mean? So it's just, I feel like besides Wonder Woman, this is now top tier alongside with Wonder Woman.
Yeah, which is funny too, because it's like the most violent, ridiculous one. Like, you're not selling Peacemaker backpacks to kids and stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. And I mean, I only want a season two of Peacemaker if James Gunn is in charge of it. If he's willing to write
a season two. I would hope that must be the assumption.
Yeah. But again, like, I think at this point in time, if there is, like, a solo vision for it's from a beginning to an end, then that is all I want given, you know, not to be forced with anything else. Just like with Watchmen, right? Like, the first season, like, the season of Watchmen is only one, and that's all the showrunner wanted to do. It's just, I'm only going to do one season, and here it is. And my other big example is Breaking Bad. Vince Gilligan, like, I think he, in one of his interviews, talked about how it's like, hey, these are all the events that are going to happen in order, because we can't go any further, you know? So he had, you know, the ending of season five, like, you know, this is going to be five seasons, and there it is, you know? So yeah, I mean, I appreciate when something has a vision from, like, an end to, like, from a start to an end, you know? But then again, we do have Marvel working its magic and being able to keep it going. So, again, it all depends. But yeah, we'll see how, we'll see what happens next. I'm excited for these next couple of episodes. And a lot of them, too, are directed by James Gunn. So,
yeah, I think he directed, like, over half of them.
Mm-hmm. So I'll be excited to see what happens here. All right. Any final thoughts? Any more? Anything I forgot, or anything you want to add to the Peacemaker conversation?
Nope. Really good. Excited to see where it goes. Very pleasantly surprised. So this should help me get through until The Boys comes out, and I guess maybe June.
Is there a date until do we have a
I think
date
it's like or? June 6th. I think it's June 6th or something is when The Boys comes out.
That makes me a little sad.
It's kind of far, but at least we know now.
That's fair. I mean, everything's also, I mean, yeah, because right now, I guess I'm just waiting for, like, well, not, okay, to be fair, though, now that we're done with some, the Peacemaker thing is that we are out, in my world, we are heading into the Oscar-nominated stuff, right? So, a lot of my picking and choosing of shows and movies are going to be leaned towards trying to catch up on what, you know, because I'm always curious about what, like, the what the prestige, pretentious, or whatever group is, you know, calls out. But sometimes there are, like, good gems, and they're called out for a reason. So, like, I feel like I'm sounding like an asshole because I feel like they don't give other movies, like, a chance, you know? For example, like, you know, like, there was talks about, and again, this is so far-fetched, but, like, or whatever, but, for example, there was talks about maybe Spider-Man being nominated for Best Picture, right?
They're never going to do that. They're not going to.
Right. Exactly. They're not going to do an MCU movie and put it for Best Picture. Like, I will, I don't know how much money I have in my pocket currently, but, like, I would bet everything I have, right, that they wouldn't.
Yeah, no, they don't want that.
Yeah, they don't want that, but, you know, we have, we have, you know, like, other movies that are called out that, like, do deserve some recognition, right? But because there's been some issues with, like, the Academy being really more biased towards, you know, majority being more, like, white picture-nominated films, which, you know, was heavy white leads or whatever kind of deal. So there's more awareness, which is what I'm happy to see. So I don't know, but I'm most curious because, again, there are good quality movies that get nominated, and there's some stuff that I want to check out. You know, like, for example, there's Power of the Dog, which has Benjamin Cumberbatch, and I like him, so I'm going to check that out, which is on Netflix. So there's some stuff, and then I might talk to Andrew and see if he wants to, you know, I might talk to you and be like, hey, do you want to talk about this? And you'll tell me yay or nay, you know? And go from there. But yeah, I'm gonna start throwing out some of those movies, or start kind of seeing what's nominated. They just had their Sundance Festival happen last week, and it's been a dream of mine to, like, one day, like, attend Sundance Film Festival.
But did you watch Licorice Pizza?
That is on my list, to be honest.
Okay, I was gonna go see it next weekend because it just started playing at my theater, actually.
Okay, so. That being said, that is something that I am definitely down to review for next time.
We do that.
Yeah. So, Licorice Pizza, because, again, like, movies like Licorice Pizza, Power of the Dog, we have, I think it's Richard King, which is, like, the dad of the Williams sisters. What else do we have? We have a couple other movies that are going to be contenders for Best Picture, so I'm always curious to see what's going to be there. So, yeah, I'm going to be probably throwing some of that stuff out there, and hopefully it'll be safe because COVID's still a thing. So, I mean, the last movie I saw in theaters was this, you know, was Spider-Man No Way Home.
I got maximum antibodies, you know, right now. Like, this is the highest they'll be for a little while. You know, I'm only 1 week post-booster, so I'm good.
You're like, I'm ready to go. Shit, mine was in November, so I got, yeah, I'm not as beefed up as I was. But anyways, but yeah, we're, yeah, we'll sing about something, and then that's kind of be what we have for in store for today and in the future. So this has been I Want to Talk Movies.
Andrew, you say your name first.
I do. Damn it, Andrew.
You always say your name first.
All right, fine. This has been I Want to Talk Movies. My name is Andy.
I'm Andrew, and I won't cut that out. Bye.
Thank you.